welcome back to the work of the CWG. I'm not sure what happened there. I'll be chairing this call. Lisa, your co-chair, and myself have met in advance of the call, but we agreed that I would chair the call on the basis that she's actually not got that stronger voice at the moment, having caught a cold, ironically, in the summer. But anyway, we're working together, and we'll work with you. I hope we won't need the full 2 hours that this is scheduled for. Significant amount of our work has been completed, as you know, with the submission of the final proposal to the ICG. But we felt it was useful to come back together and cover off a couple of key points. We have not yet had any formal requests for clarification or issues arising from the work of the ICG as they review our final proposal and reconcile it with that of the other two communities, save for the issue of dealing with the question on the how we were dealing with the IANA trademark in our proposal. We'll come to that in just a moment in the next agenda item. Before I go on to that update from the client committee, are there any questions or issues anyone would like to raise now in respect of the agenda or any other items that are scheduled to appear on the agenda or something you'd like to see under AOB? All right, seeing none, I'll keep us moving for the moment. We had traditionally we had a fixed schedule of the client committee at 1400 UTC on a Thursday. As it was historically, we were meeting at 1100 UTC on Tuesday, so that typically followed. Today it was ahead of this meeting, and actually we talked briefly as the client committee and as to we should go ahead with that. And when we talked informally yesterday, we felt that it was a good idea to do so because we felt we could better engage with the CWG, having talked together as a client committee and, in fact, having talked with Sidley as well. So we went ahead and had that meeting at 1400 UTC today, and that's, for those of you that are interested, that's obviously recorded and available for you to pick up on. But, you know, I can pick up on the main points of that in any event and talk you through the considerations there and see what comments or issues arise. We touched on the issue. There's a background issue that's going on in relation to the work of the client committee, and that many of you will be aware that I guess on the back of the board having to sign off on the first major tranche of legal fees, I assume that probably, I haven't checked this in detail, but my assumption is that crossed a threshold of expenditure which required it going to the board. And I believe, I wasn't present, but I believe this was the subject of some comment in the public forum, or in any event, it was raised as an issue. So there's an ongoing concern over just making sure that there is prudent management of the legal resources and that the costs are managed effectively. And to that extent, we had a meeting between Lisa and myself, co-chairs of the CWG, the co-chairs of the CCWG, together with ICANN Legal and ICANN Finance, because this is actually quite an administratively heavy and challenging task to make sure that instructions are given, ideally advance indications of the costs is made, future tracking of those against any billing is undertaken, and ICANN staff is effectively administering that function for us, but we need to make sure it's all joined up. So there was a call earlier this week to discuss that, and that's some ongoing work in the background to try and make sure that the administration and management of that is as effective as possible. I think the outcome really is what I would like to propose, or I guess we would like to propose to the group, is that it may be implicit to the group, but I think we would like to make sure it's explicit and agreed that we include legal fees in the remit of the client committee and effective management of the legal fees. So The client committee, as you know, is the conduit for effective instruction and coordination of the legal resources. It seems logical that the fees component of that is managed and handled by the client committee in conjunction with ICANN staff in the way that I described a moment ago. But we'd just like to formalize that and make sure that that's understood explicitly and agreed. Are there any concerns or questions with regard to that legal fees point? Any issues that anyone would like to raise or questions arising? Thanks, Grace, for that link in the chat relating to the board point on that. Now, the legally related point that's come up in the interim is the point on the IANA trademark and domain names or related intellectual property. And a couple of things have happened in the interim. I think during the course, and someone can remind me of this, of the ICANN meeting in BA, we received a request, or during the course or shortly thereafter, we received a request from the ICG to provide an update, which the chairs duly did. And essentially, we reiterated in writing what we had said at a couple of meetings in Buenos Aires, that if you looked, and there wasn't really any scope for interpretation, it was clear that our proposal was in effect silent on what to do with the IANA trademark and how to deal with that. So to the extent that other responding communities, the numbering and protocols communities, had been concerned that there was a contradiction or that our proposal was in some way in conflict with those other proposals, we asserted that it was not, and that we were in effect silent on that. There's also been a note from the ICANN board that we may be able to get up, and I'm not sure that everyone has seen that. Certainly, I'm sure Grace can put a link into the chat for that on the intellectual property. And the essence of that note is that the board has said that they will not, the ICANN board, they will not use the intellectual property. They commit to not using the intellectual property to interfere in any way. I mean, I'm talking about this, I'm talking colloquially here, but in essence, they commit to not using that to get in the way of any prospective separation in the future. But all of that really means the current proposal, the final proposal we wrote, doesn't really deal with the IANA trademark and domain names, and you could say it doesn't need to. So this one opinion is it doesn't need to. It's currently with ICANN. Our proposal is a subsidiary that will remain with ICANN, and therefore the only issue really is one of what happens in terms of future separation. In fact, the board's addressed that. There's nothing to worry about. I'm not sure that that's a universally held view and that we may need to be more explicit than that. And so on the back of the client committee meeting, we considered asking Sidley for some help here and discuss that in a preliminary way. It feels to me that we have two options here. We either remain silent and do nothing, and effectively the presumption is that the marks are held with ICANN. PTI will have access to use those marks and domain names, not exclusively, but to the extent that we need to make use of them, and we rely on the board's, rely at least for the moment on the board's assertion that it won't get in the way of future use of those. Or the alternative is that we go to Sidley and say, look, we need some help here. We need some proper expert help to look into this a little and tell us to sort of really evaluate what the options might be from our point of view. Now, many of you will know that the current proposal from the other communities is one community has remained effectively said they would suggest it's moved to the IETF trust, and the other has said we have no problem with that option. So we could ask Sidley to have a look at those scenarios from our perspective, probably talk with ICANN, the current holder of the mark, take potentially any input from the other communities, And I should say that Lisa and I met with the chairs of the IANA plan and CRISP working groups and understood where they were at. And they're not planning to do anything at the moment. They believe their two proposals are self-consistent, and therefore the only thing that would prompt them to do something different would be if we came along with a proposal that was in some way not consistent with that. So it seems to me we need to evaluate how do we feel about the marks being with remaining with ICANN, moving to the IETF trust or an equivalent trust, or moving to PTI. These seem like the likely three scenarios. And based on the discussion, the preliminary discussion with the client committee, that's our, that seems to be an option. Are there any comments or thoughts on that? Would anyone like to... Oh, that's a good question. Why would we ask Sidley rather than ICANN's legal team? Well, that's a really interesting question. It's. I mean, others may have a view on that, but essentially, ICANN is the existing holder of the mark, and we as in preparing our proposal have taken independent legal advice to make sure that our proposal is both. And this is an area where we should consider at least taking independent advice rather than asking ICANN's legal for advice. If we were to do that, surely we would ask our independent advisors to at least talk with ICANN and understand their perspective on it, probably as almost a first port of call. Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. I guess, we talked to... You spent some time talking about the cost of Sidley, and it's obviously quite a reasonable cost. But I just wonder on this occasion whether this is something that, you know, really is within their expertise or whether we can just hand it over to ICANN's legal team. I just feel like sometimes we overthink this too much. You know, ICANN's legal team probably has the expertise on this issue, so why do we need to seek independent advice on it? I just wonder if we're just being a little bit too overcautious here. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Good question. Are we over-egging it and potentially adding costs that are not necessary? There's a couple of responses coming up, so let me defer to those right away. First, Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks for this discussion, Jonathan and Donna. It seems to me before we do anything, including consulting with the ICANN legal team, is that we ought to make sure that the other two communities are willing to accept the advice from the ICANN legal team. There's no use going through that exercise if they want something independent. If they're comfortable with using the ICANN legal team as a first step, then... in my opinion, that's fine. Obviously, we want to get the get clarification, and but there's no use us spinning our wheels if we're doing something that the other two communities might object to. So just simply getting their confirmation that that step would be okay, or any steps we take, I think we ought to be in sync with the other two communities in whatever we do.
Thanks, Chuck. That's a very good point, and clearly that's what we attempted to do by talking with them as a first step earlier this week. And I think what we came away from that with was that their proposals were self-consistent, as I said, and if we, in a sense, fell in line with their proposals, that would be fine, because then there would be we would become consistent with theirs. We didn't discuss the possibility of getting legal advice from ICANN. We did talk about the possibility of getting independent legal advice, and we also understood that at least one of the other communities had their own advice on this. And interestingly, they said they would be perfectly willing to make that available to us as part of our process. So we have access to, they were very open to any sharing information and assisting us in working through anything we needed to do with respect to this. So, Greg, your hand has come up.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think we do need to be in sync in terms of process with the other two communities so that when we come to our conclusion with regard to that, the question at hand, we can go back to them, you know, with our thoughts in a way that's kind of legally, both legally appropriate and functionally appropriate. If we come back after all of this and agree to their proposal, then I guess it doesn't really matter who we consulted as a matter of you know, our own desire to get legal advice or our own need to get legal advice. However, if we disagree, they may want to dive deeper, either with their own counsel or with the counsel we consulted, in which case I think that's where the issue of ICANN counsel giving the definitive advice to the CEWG may fall short. Certainly no reason not to get their views on the matter. But I think, again, the reason to get independent legal advice is the same as it has been generally. Although, you know, in this case, we might like the advice that ICANN's legal counsel gives, or some of us might like it. The question, though, is whether that advice is, you know, kind of given in our interest or not. And, you know, I generally don't have, I'm not going to be skeptical about the advice in advance. Finally, I would note that to the best of my knowledge, I would probably end up turning to external counsel for expertise in this particular matter. So it's all ICANN money either way, but I could be wrong about that. It could be. But I do note that at least the trademark matters I've seen them handle to date have been handled by outside counsel and not by somebody within, although I've seen Amy Stathos' name on some things, but I don't believe that's an area of expertise. But we could always ask. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Sean?
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. This is Sean for the record. I'd just like to clarify two things. I think going through, I mean, consulting with the other two communities is good. It's actually one of the principles that all the three communities should have had in the development of their proposals from the beginning. However, and on the issue of this trademark, I think we all know the views of the two communities, and what is pending is the views of this of the CWG. And I think I don't see how consulting with the two communities will help inform the CWG view more than what the two communities have already indicated in their proposal. So I think if we need to use LEGA, at least ICANN LEGA, to produce some more facts or some more information in order to improve our conviction on the particular direction and find, I think that would be a good approach. And if there is a must to use external, then I would suggest that we get the views from ICANN LEGA first, and then ask NEAC Sibley to look at it, especially if some legal folks within our working group, people like Greg, for instance, say that what ICANN LEGA has provided is not valid or is not sufficient, then we can go further. But again, I think this trademark is not a major issue that we need to drag for so long. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean. And I took the essence of what you were suggesting to say was, you know, we the first point being that we would struggle to get anything more out of the other communities without coming up with something more ourselves. And I tend to agree with you. I think they are where they are now, and we need to where we go next. As for making ICANN legal a first port of call, I think that's a possibility, but Chuck does make the point that whatever advice will need to be acceptable to all three communities. Now, I may be being naive here, but I can't see ICANN legal suggesting anything other than that the mark remains with ICANN and that it is and that appropriate use is granted to PTI to use it. And it's clear already that that solution isn't, on the face of it, acceptable to the other communities since they have a counter proposal. So it feels to me like we might create a whole lot of cycles by going to ICANN Legal, who naturally and reasonably would say, let it stay with us, we'll license it or provide it for use in whatever appropriate way to whoever needs to use it, and in the event of a separation, we'll also undertake to do that. But it feels that's not, from my understanding so far, is that simply won't fly with the other communities. Now, it might fly if it came from Sidley or from an independent legal advice who said, look, really, you've got nothing to worry about. Provided it's covered in A, B, and C ways contractually, you're okay. And I have a feeling that might be slightly different than if it. So that's the issue. Alyssa, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Just to kind of build on that point that you just made, I think from sort of an ICANN institutional perspective, as you said, everyone has access to the statement from the board that was made. And the ICG, some of the ICG members have had follow-up questions, which our liaison, Kuo Wei, is liaising back and forth with the board to try and get some clarification around the board statement. So there will be some more information in that regard coming from the board. But I had sort of thought in the discussions that were had, at least kind of in the hallways in Buenos Aires, that the idea of seeking legal advice was more specifically as regards to how trademarks generally are used and how does that apply in this case, kind of very trademark-specific sort of legal advice, not kind of ICANN institutional legal positioning, which is, I think, in terms of ICANN institutional position, I think what we have, all of us, all the communities have at the moment, is the statement from the board. So just wanted to kind of throw out that distinction in terms of, you know, if the CWG is looking for help in formulating its position. I had thought that it was sort of looking for expertise in trademark law to try and help formulate that position as opposed to insight into what ICANN's institutional position on the issue is. And I would also say, just I was going to say this, Jonathan said it, that at the moment, if we look at across the three proposals that the ICG has received, what would happen when we go to implementation phase, assuming that, you know, none of the proposals change, I think, is that the trademark would move to the ITF Trust because that is the one community that made a specific proposal, and the other two are silent. And so if nothing changes, that's what I would expect to happen, and the ITF Trust has said that it would accept the mark. So there does need to be further elaboration from the other communities if that's not what they want to have happen. Thanks.
Thanks, Alyssa. Those are helpful remarks, at least from my perspective. So just to be clear before moving to Greg, I mean, what we discussed at the client committee was the possibility of asking or instructing Sidley to look at the three scenarios. The mark stays with ICANN, the mark moves to PTI, or the mark moves to a trust. And that trust could be the IETF. And what would then happen is that this CWG would have some independent expert advice on which to base our opinion. The challenge for me, and I suspect for many of you, other than those who are real specialists in this area, is we don't have the expert knowledge to make a decision. And to that extent, I think Alyssa's point is an important one. You know, ICANN Legal may or may not have the expert advice, but really acknowledge, and as Greg said, they may well then turn it out to outside counsel in any event. For us, this is about having some form of expert input on which we can make a decision. And ideally, it will be consistent with the other groups, or failing that, that they will see it as you know, something that they can move towards. But first of all, before we can even do that, we need those scenarios evaluated. And to the extent, we may be neutral on all three, and maybe I'll just go along with the proposal. But it would be very good to do that on the basis of some knowledge and advice. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Jonathan. First, it's very helpful for Alyssa to have clarified that the view of the ICG is that if we don't state a position on this matter, that they will take that as kind of silence equaling assent and go with the numbers proposal. I'm violently opposed to allowing kind of a non-decision to be made by this group. I think this is an important point, and I think it's one that we need to get right, and the only way to be sure that we're getting it right, regardless of the conclusion we come to, is through appropriate and expert legal advice. And I think the only way that we can really get appropriate and expert legal advice that all of us agree we can rely on, or that by and large most of us will agree we can rely on, is by turning to our counsel for all the same reason that we hired them in the first place, which is Sidley, which certainly has that expertise on board in the firm. So to be more crisp or straightforward about my views on this, is that we should task Sidley with this matter, because regardless of what ICANN tells us, it will always be presumptively ICANN's position and not neutral advice to this group. And secondly, I'm fairly convinced that they would need to expend similar amounts with their own outside counsel as we would with that retained for our benefit. So I think we should go forward with the suggestion, because that will give us the best result and the clearest comfort that whatever decision we're making, and we should make a decision, that we're making an appropriate decision. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And just to Chuck's point about asking ICANN Legal to identify, assuming we're talking directly to ICANN Legal about this, why the mark and domain name should not go to the IETF Trust. Certainly in the proposal that's that the client committee is testing, is that we would certainly, that would be one of the scenarios, that the trademark moves to a trust or the IETF Trust and or the IETF Trust, and to give us an opinion as to what the issues for the naming community and our proposal might be in the event of that. And it's quite possible that comes back and says, providing A, B, and C conditions are met, you should have no concerns about that, or it might not be. And Sidley actually used the stress test type language when we discussed this with them. It's really about what risks might exist with each different scenario, what issues there are, and to really help us with some sort of matrix or test to evaluate it. So, I saw a couple of people agreeing with that proposal. I mean, Lisa obviously is on the client committee and worked with us on that. Cheryl, you seem to be supportive of this. I know there are reservations. Believe me, I have reservations about incurring any costs that we don't have to. And I've been... If a number of people have said to me you should be mindful of costs, but also mindful of the quality of the advice and assistance we've got in getting where we did. So my temptation is to, yes, Sean, to your question in the chat, essentially that's what we'd be saying. There are, I think, and they may provide some others, but at face value there are three scenarios that we would ask them to consider. We'd ask them to consider the scenarios with the trademark and domain names, associated intellectual property. Evaluate these with respect to understanding ICANN's position, the other two communities' positions, and come back to us with, from the point of view of the CWG, what might be optimal or acceptable, and really evaluate those three scenarios so we knew what we could, what we shouldn't have, what we could live with, and what might be best. And my hope would be that, you know, we could at least find something that they said, you can live with this solution. It may not be absolutely perfect if we're advising you in your, you know, purely from your perspective, but given that, you know, and I can't predict what that outcome would be, but it would be good to get the advice. And thanks for that information, Greg, in the chat. So, yes, and Sean, that's a really good point. So Sean makes a point in the chat if we can have an idea of how many working hours would take. So the way we intend to work from now on is to scope the work, as we've done orally now, give that scope across to Sidley and ask for an indication. We won't necessarily get a binding quote, but I think without going into all the detail, I would like the group to know that there's been significant discussions with the CCWG chairs and with Xavier from ICANN Finance, who's proved to be very helpful, and ICANN Legal, about just how to manage the external counsel so that costs and scope doesn't just run openly. So we will do that. So, and we'll ask for a cost indication. And you can rest assured that for some of us, and that probably includes me, the cost will seem high no matter what. I mean, but we will manage it as best as possible and certainly give an indication of cost up front. Okay, thanks for that. The next area that we discussed with Sidley as the client committee was the issue of bylaws and how we might deal with the bylaws. Because essentially, the work that's going to go on with the accountability group is that they are going to go through their process and ultimately propose some modifications to the bylaws that we are going to have to decide whether they meet our requirements. When you think about the bylaws work, some of those are very specifically meeting our needs. For example, the creation of PTI. Some of those will need sign-off from us, and some of the work on bylaws will, I mean, at least from the CWG stewardship point of view, I'm sure many of us individuals have an interest in it, but won't be in scope, if you like. So the question that we talked about and have been considering, and I've personally been thinking about for a while, is how much do we want to be involved in, essentially, how much do we want Sidley to work on the bylaws on our behalf rather than receiving all the instruction from the CCWG? Do we want to be involved in the, do we have, because of our expertise and knowledge of these, does it make sense for us to instruct Sidley directly ourselves or those that are specific to our work? Clearly this needs coordination with the CCWG and discussion with the chairs, and Lisa and I have a discussion with them running on this to try and understand this. Given that we are both using Sidley as legal advisors, although the CCWG is also using a separate firm in addition, it should be naturally relatively efficient since this coordination going. But the proposal here is that we consider using Sidley in the first instance to draft a sort of matrix and division of responsibility. Which are the bylaws that are going to have to be done, and who is going to be instructing on which bylaws, on which bylaw changes? So that's what's proposed here. And to be clear, Sean, good question. Which are the bylaws? Here we are referring to ICANN's bylaws that will need to be modified to accommodate our proposal. I think it's to be expected that there will be, but it's a good question. Which bylaws are we talking about, PTI or ICANN? And I think here we're talking about the draft changes to ICANN's bylaws that accommodate the work of the CWG. Any thoughts or comments on that? Chuck?
Chuck speaking. Thanks, Jonathan. And this isn't specifically about that, but it seems to me we're making an assumption that using ICANN Legal and or their outside counsel is more reasonable than using Sidley. And that may very well be true, but do we know that for a fact? It seems to me that we should confirm that. We're deciding whether to make a choice which we think will save money by using ICANN, but if they use outside counsel and it's just as expensive, we're spinning our wheels on something that won't save any money. Now, maybe the client committee has already confirmed that, and if so, it'd just be good to communicate that. If not, I think we ought to find out.
Thanks, Chuck. I perhaps haven't been as clear as I can. We don't have insight into the rates at which ICANN hires its own outside counsel and how those compare to Sidley. Although we did have ICANN Legal involved in the initial evaluation of the law firms, and there wasn't a specific point made on cost. So let me just be clear where I think we are at the moment. What I think we've agreed and what we propose to do is to go ahead and, subject to appropriate scoping, is to instruct Sidley to evaluate the three scenarios in and around the IANA trademarks and domain names. Second, what we're now talking about is to potentially use Sidley to help drafting the bylaw language that will ultimately need to be adopted by ICANN to execute or to implement the CWG's work. But right now, we're not proposing to ask them to go ahead and draft that, but rather to simply scope out what the work will be and which areas they propose should be drafted under instruction from the CWG, which should be drafted with the CWG will sign off on, our group will sign off on, and which areas our group will not have any significant input on. So it's really an initial scoping exercise rather than actually doing the work. But of course, it's likely it will lead to doing the work once it's clear which areas are proposed to be worked on, and providing that's consistent with where the CCWG sees things at. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Greg Shatton for the record. I think, briefly, in Jones Day and Sidley Austin are roughly, in the same area of the legal firmament as major multinational firms. So we're putting aside any possibility that ICANN has a fee arrangement with Jones Day that might give them a slightly better per hour deal. We're probably comparing varieties of apples, not apples and oranges, in terms of fees. Secondly, I think any bylaws drafting exercise will in the end have to involve both ICANN Legal and presumably their outside counsel and Sidley, because ICANN Legal will need to be assured that this works in their overall bylaws and that they can appropriately sign off to the board that they're not asking the board to, or that the board isn't being asked to approve bylaws that are going to, have unintended consequences or otherwise aren't going to work. At the same time, we're going to need to be assured as a CWG that the bylaws as drafted through whatever process we arrived at make sense from the point of view of accomplishing our objectives. So I think at this point we're almost asking who should have the first serve in a tennis match rather than anything more significant than that. I think whatever happens, and I personally would always like to hold the pen first if I'm drafting something that's going to be reviewed by someone I'm negotiating with or dealing with. But if I hold the pen second, I'm not shy, and I don't think Sidley would be shy, about making whatever changes we felt necessary to accomplish the objectives. And then, in turn, Jones Day would not be shy about saying, well, you can't do that because look at this section of the bylaws, now we have this issue. And in the end, we'll get to where we need to get to, because in the end, I think we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And turn to Sean's question in the chat, which is an interesting one, is do we know if the ICG would be requiring those bylaw details before submitting to NTIA? And my expectation is no. I don't expect so, but clearly one area of the work of going forward is going to be to respond to any questions or requirements for further clarification. So I think, as Greg says, and in many ways this is about setting expectations and understanding who would expect to make a first provide the first language, and it's really where the expertise or where the origin of the work is. So, and yes, and I think that Lisa makes a good point. The fact that our proposal is dependent on the work of the CWG, I mean, that's really the issue here, is these things have to, it's less about what the ICG does, and it's more about, and thank you, Lisa, that's helpful, it's more about making sure that our proposal meshes properly with the CCWG. What we don't want to find is when the CCWG provides its final proposal, and we can expect that to include language on the bylaws, what we don't want to find is that members of our group or indeed anyone else says, well, that's not consistent with the proposal of the CWG, which is why it makes sense to sort of work on this and in effect negotiate how that language might be developed over the course of the forthcoming period. Sean says he agrees with Greg's suggested approach of using ICANN Legal for an initial draft. I'm not sure I heard that from Greg, so I'd like Greg to clarify that's what if that was what you were suggesting. I'm not sure I heard that.
That's the opposite of what I said. What I said was that I would prefer, when I'm engaged in this in my professional capacity, to have the first draft, to hold the pen first, and would want the same for us. However, it's not a die-in-the-ditch type of issue, because if we are the ones, or our counsel are the ones that hold the pen second, they will not be shy about making whatever changes they need to make in order to make the bylaws look, you know, essentially as they would had they held the first draft, plus whatever, you know, positive learnings they may have from the way ICANN handled it. And as an aside, I would say that kind of the better and more sophisticated law firms I've seen, the less shy they are about making all the changes they see necessary in their clients' best interests. And I'm sure that Sidley would fall into that highly sophisticated category and look out for our best interests, whether they draft first or second. But I'd rather draft first. Thanks.
Okay, so let's just be crystal clear what's being proposed here. All that is being proposed here right now is that we go to Sidley and we ask them to prepare a matrix of the different likely bylaw changes and to suggest which of those they draft on our behalf, which of those we work on in conjunction with the CWG, and effectively they will help us to sign off on, and which of those are likely to have nothing, we will have no material interest in from the perspective of the CWG. So that's what's being proposed. It's not that we will actually go to instructing them to write the bylaws. We're going to, first of all, hear back from them which ones they propose to draft on our behalf. So we would pick this up at a future date. Yeah, that's well captured by whoever's writing the notes in that final bullet on the right. So I guess what I would like to ask is if there's no objection to the client committee proceeding with those that step of getting that matrix of laid out as covered by the action proposed there at the bottom of the right-hand notes, asking Sili to develop a matrix to identify bylaw changes, identify which ones they would suggest drafting on behalf of the CWG, which are drafted by the CCWG, that will need to be signed off by us, probably with their help, to say that meets our expectations, and which of those we won't have to work with. So that's what's being proposed. I'll keep us, in the interest of time, I'll keep us moving through the agenda, but if there are any concerns or objections, come back to that, because I realize this is something which people might be just digesting as we speak. Teresa, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan, and my apologies here. I think one thing that would be important is to try to have some consistency with what's also being done in the CCWG. I think, as many are aware, under the .com Act and the legislation that exists and the discussions that occurred in the context of the Buenos Aires meeting, there's a lot of bylaw work that's going to need to occur that has interdependencies. And the discussion with the CCWG was that ICANN Legal would play a role in the context of preparing a draft, working with the community, obviously the external law firms reviewing, et cetera, and that would be part of the discussion. I think adding in another layer of complexity will really just slow down some of the discussions, as opposed to ensuring that all the different areas of the bylaw provisions that need to be prepared and finalized as part of getting the final proposal ready get done in the most efficient and effective and resource-conscious manner. And so I would suggest that the group take a look at what was agreed to on the CCWG side, which I'm sure many already have. There's a trial going to be done with the context of the AOC-related reviews and the bylaw provisions, the preparations being done by ICANN Council, then obviously working with the community on that and the external law firms working on that. But I think that would lend a sense of efficiencies across all the different bylaw provisions that need to be drafted. Then just separately in relation to the IANA.org issue, that is a very complex area. I think, as many know, there's different operational communities involved in that. I would suggest having a conversation with ICANN and ICANN Legal about that to fully understand both what the board statement is and to understand some of the areas that are relevant to that.
Thanks, Teresa. So what would be very helpful is to understand if you are suggesting we should do anything different to those draft action items that are sitting in the notes at this stage. Because as they stand, what we will do is we would go to Lee and say to them that we would like them to look at, in particular, the IANA trademark-related issues, possibly to include the domain names, likely to include the domain names as well, the intellectual property, and three different scenarios from the CWG perspective, having consulted with ICANN Legal as to any historic or current information, and let us know which of those scenarios retain with ICANN, move to a trust, move to PTI, which, if any or all of those, are what the implications for the CWG proposal are. So that's the one. And the second is then to not ask Sidley to start to draft the bylaws, but to develop a matrix as to which ones they would suggest would be drafted first by CWG, by them on behalf of the CWG, and which ones would be drafted by them and or Adler on behalf of the CCWG that would ultimately need to be signed off by the CWG, and then third, which of those would need to be drafted by well, the third category may not even be necessary. That really is in the purview of the CCWG. So question, does that second point in particular go too far in your perspective, or are you suggesting we simply hold off from doing anything, even in scoping those bylaw changes?
I think it's fine to take a look at where one thinks that the bylaw changes are needed, but I would really suggest that there's a conversation with ICANN Legal, make sure that everybody's on the same page on where the bylaw changes are needed, and then consistent with what's being suggested for the CCWG, that the initial draft is done by ICANN Legal. One can do a test case in the context, obviously, of the CWG as is being done in the CCWG, and that this is done in an open and transparent way. Shared with the community, obviously shared with the external counsel to give their views. I think as Bruce had really nicely described in the discussions with the CCWG in the meeting that was held with the board, and I think then subsequently on one of the lists, that this is really just a partnership in working on getting the bylaw provisions done and getting them done in the most efficient and effective way, ensuring that the framework and the principles and the objectives of what's in the proposals are fully captured, and hence as a result that the work is conducted in an open and transparent way and in a partnership with the community to achieve exactly what's needed. With regards to the IANA.org and the trademark issue, I think if the group agrees, I'd really suggest that maybe Sidley has a call with ICANN on that, because some of it's actually not about a trademark issue. It's about a range of other areas that are relevant for the operational communities. And again, such a call could be done in an open way, transparent way, and only, of course, if this group thinks that that's a helpful way to help inform the discussions most fully.
So thanks, Teresa. To the point, then to the trademark point, I mean, to me it seems absolutely evident that Sidley should talk with ICANN Legal on the trademark and intellectual property issues. That I don't think that will compromise their independence at all. It's part of their fact-finding and understanding. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say I see no problem with that, and I'm sure others will come in if they do have any concern. With the latter point, if indeed that is the case, it feels to me like we potentially shouldn't take action at this stage, because there's no point in if in the final event we were to end up in a position where Sidley were not going to be drafting the first draft of any bylaws and all first drafts would be coming from ICANN Legal, which, as Greg said a moment ago, is not necessarily unacceptable. It's a reasonable way of doing things if it's still going to be reviewed by external counsel. It doesn't make sense to do that second action item. I'm going to hold off here and let Greg and Alyssa come in that order. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'll join you on that limb and suggest that it certainly makes sense for Sidley to talk with ICANN Legal. They possess a whole range of facts and background that would be absolutely necessary to any analysis of the situation, and they, you know, pretty much uniquely possess those facts, not just ICANN Legal, but you know, operational aspects of ICANN that deal with the actual IANA.org domain name and, the more importantly, the website that is located through that domain name. So that all needs to be learned. I would suggest that it not just be Sidley, but perhaps a subgroup of folks from the CWG. I will, unsurprisingly, volunteer to be one of those people. As to the second point, I think that the matrix of which bylaws are primarily the responsibility of the CCWG versus the CWG is absolutely something we need to understand. There are things that really we're executing on in this group that the CCWG would not be, you know, particularly well informed on, and obviously vice versa. That said, as I said before, there's no if the overall approach is going to be that ICANN will take the first serve in this match, then you know, I see no reason not to match up with that, so to speak. And other than, you know, the possible issue of bandwidth, but again. You know, I think that as long as there's a dialogue, a collaboration, a back and forth on that, you know, we should just, you know, do what seems to be reasonable in the larger circumstance. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Alyssa?
Thanks, Jonathan. I would say maybe just extending the suggestion from Greg a little further in that if the information that ICANN Legal or ICANN staff would intend to share about the trademark and intellectual property is likely to be relevant not just to the community, but to the other communities as well, then what probably makes more sense than, you know, just having a call with the other CWG participants to have a broader call, a public call or a public statement with anyone who wants to join from the other communities.
Perspective, it's invaluable to have your input. It's very, very useful. Unfortunately, the audio was poor then. I wasn't sure if it was just on my receiving end, but it seems like from comments in the chat the problem was had by others as well. So I'd be really appreciate you could just sort of precise that point again. I know it was a pretty comprehensive point, and it's always a tough ask to ask you to go back and restate things, but I think it would be helpful for both currently now hearing you and part of the conversation, and also for the record.
Is that audio any better?
Yes, much better.
Yes, sorry. Not functioning. What I was saying was that I think, kind of piggybacking on Greg's suggestion, is that the conversation with ICANN Legal or ICANN staff about you know, more information that they might have as regards to the trademark and the IPR should include folks from the other communities. Ideally, would just be kind of a public call that would be open to anyone who wants to join from any of the communities, given that the trademark and IPR issues have bearing on all of the communities, unless the items that Teresa had in mind were specific to the names function, in which case I would understand, but I would certainly want any of that information or, you know, kind of public statement or anything coming from the ICANN side to be available for discussion with all of the communities, and might as well kind of do them all at once, I would say, as opposed to just having a conversation with Sidley. Hopefully you could hear that time.
Yes, Alyssa, that was crystal clear, and I think that's a really good point. And I suppose it's linked, but not exactly the same as the point that I made earlier about the willingness and therefore almost the expectation that any advice we receive would take input from the other community, including any legal advice they have received. Now, to the I guess I can't really presume whether what form that takes is whether there's a kind of multi-way conversation or how that takes, but noted and understood your point about if Sidley is to consult with ICANN Legal, ideally other communities are informed or in present in firsthand in the conversation. So that was much clearer. Thank you. Lisa?
Thank you, Jonathan. I was going to comment on the bylaw matrix, and I don't know if that's, we're on the other subject now. For me, I still would like to have that with the help from Sidley, even though ICANN Legal might take a first go of creating the bylaws, because I find that that would give us a better direction of which bylaws we need to be more aware of and more in conversation with ICANN Legal on along the way, and which ones that are more that belongs more to the accountability group. So for me, this would give us good guidance, whatever process we choose. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. And I see your hand is still up. I'll just ask you to remove that unless you wanted to speak again. Okay, so it seems to me that we have all the information we need at this point. We, on the first item, we proceed with care and make sure we engage and continue to involve the other communities in whatever way we can as we go down this path. And on the second, it seems that the matrix is thought to be a good idea, and but with the understanding that this needs to be created with the CCWG and the law firms. What we don't want, which is Teresa's point, is work going on independent of each other. These things need to be properly coordinated and understood before work is done, who is doing the first draft. And that seems to be critical. Okay. Let's have a look at the other items then. I think we've spent longer on this point than possibly we might have imagined, but it does seem to have been useful to flush it out properly. As far as future work or Sidley is concerned, I think that's something we have more than enough to be thinking about for the moment. Really, I think it's about the future work for this, which is the next item in the agenda, any future work for the CWG for us. Now, clearly, in some ways, we'd like to say we've done our final proposal and that's it, but we may well need to respond to further queries and issues from the ICG. We'll ultimately need to monitor the work of the CWG and make sure that that's continues to be aligned with what our expectations were, because I think we really owe them a duty of care to provide an early warning. Now, fortunately, we have enough commonality between our groups, but it feels that we certainly should be in a position to keep a very close track of that. And I think there's a face-to-face meeting scheduled in Paris next week. I'm going to be on vacation, but I believe Lisa is planning to attend to track that and to be essentially representative of the two of us as co-chairs, in addition to anyone else who's got a cross-membership.
Jonathan? Yeah, hi, it's Lisa. Yes, I'll participate in the meeting in Paris next week in order to ensure the coordination and cooperation with the CCWG together with the rest of the groups. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. And clearly the objective, as I said, there is to make sure that it feels to me like it's of course any contribution that can be made, but really thinking about it, when these two proposals come together in the end, the issue is going to be, does the CCWG proposal meet the requirements, the conditionality of the CWG? And to the extent that it's in any sense seeming that it might not, we owe them as far as possible to give a warning and say, look, that doesn't feel consistent. And some close monitoring and continue to track that is vital. And so thanks, Lisa, and anyone else who's working on that. And I note Siva's point, just recognizing the value of the of from a cost point of view and subject matter, that some support for potential first draft coming from the ICANN legal, which if that's the way the CCWG is planning on working, may well make the best sense from cost and efficiency point of view. Another area of work that's going on in the background is the work on that what was the SLE drafting team to continue to make sure that we have the appropriate set of service level expectations in place at the time of the transition, and that we can rely on the monitoring and the systems in place to be able to do that. I don't know if anyone would like to comment or question where we are in that, but that's going. I'm confident that that's going on in the background. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to that? Bernie, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, the work is ongoing. And as a matter of fact, we'll be having another meeting of the sub-team, which is trying to sort of create the first set of specifications right after this meeting. And we're hoping that by the end of that week, next week, we'll be done with that, and that can be shipped to the SLE Working Group, which is the new name for DTA, and that they'll be able to take a crack at that. So work has been ongoing all the way from Buenos Aires and has not stopped and will not stop until it gets done.
Thanks, Bernie. And I believe from discussions we had in Buenos Aires that at some point there'll be a project plan and an indication of how that's all going to dovetail with the various timing, with these sort of overarching timing issues. Is that still your idea, that there'll be some form of visible project plan for the group to be able to see how the work on the SLEs will go and how that will fit into the overall timetable for the transition and the work of the CCWG?
Yes, we'll only be able to do that after the SLE working group completes its assessment and settles into the final specs, and then we'll be able to produce an initial work plan for the community to look at.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bernie. That's helpful. Any questions or comments there? I guess we put item 4 onto the agenda, thinking really that at some point we will need to, and it doesn't have to be dealt with in this call at all, but it is a recognition that at some point we need to be clear on what if any role the CWG stewardship will have in implementation, or whether there will be an implementation review team, and if so, how might that be composed. There are some sort of precedents, if you like, in the way this is done in other groups. You know, I'm familiar with the work of the GNSO, where typically the chartering organization directs the creation of an implementation review team. What our charter doesn't specifically, the charter of this CWG doesn't specifically deal with implementation, but we do make some comments around that. So perhaps what would be useful is to circulate the chart and even highlight where that deals with any issues close to implementation, and just we need to think about what our role might be in any implementation work. Are there any comments or issues at this stage? I think what we might do when we recirculate the charter is highlight a couple of areas where, whilst it doesn't explicitly deal with implementation, it touches on related areas. So that could be something useful. Unless I'm forgetting something, that's the main other point we wanted to raise under AOB was just to talk about the fact that there's a prospective future meeting schedule. And what we proposed to do there was put in a placeholder for a meeting every 2 weeks and then confirm 48 hours or so before whether that meeting was required or not. But the danger with not having placeholder meetings in it is that it might be very difficult for the group to get together and we don't give sufficient notice. So we suggest that the co-chair suggests that the preferred option is to put placeholder meetings in, and to the extent that there are questions or issues arising, then we have the meeting. We won't have meetings for the sake of it, but if there are, I mean, the most likely thing is responding to queries or issues arising from the IE, and if that is necessary, then at least the group has got meetings diarized. Are there any concerns or objections to that? I see Cheryl agrees. Thank you. So providing there are no significant objections, I expect what we will do is the action will be on staff to schedule those meetings and for those to be sent out as placeholders, and they will be cancelled at 48 hours notice if there is no perceived need. Any other comments or questions, Grace?
Thanks, Jonathan. Just a quick question on that. Would you like us to do rotating calls, like 17 UTC and 11, something like that, or would you just want to have them all at 17 or all at 11?
I think what I would like and what I think is the correct thing to do is perhaps slightly different. We were rotating 17 and 11. It probably makes sense to continue with 17 and 11 as alternating slots. I know either is probably unsatisfactory for parts of the world, but that probably makes sense to just continue. Chuck asked will they be on Thursdays, and I guess absent another suggestion, I would think we continue with the rotation as we did, which was every second Thursday, and flipping between 11 and 17 UTC. I know that won't be music to your ears, Chuck, to the extent that it takes place at 11 UTC. Absent something else, it probably makes sense to do that, and we'll just have to see. But the intention is not to meet as a matter of routine. The intention is to meet as and when necessary. So you can expect a number of cancellations. Okay, I think that's it. I'm going to pause for 1 minute and have a minute of radio silence just to make sure that we ensure that if anyone else has anything to say, they would like to say any input. Thanks. It's been a very nice balance between, I know I've spoken a lot and I apologize for that, but there was information to convey, but we've also had good engagement on the voice and also plenty of helpful chat, so that's useful.
Sorry, Jonathan. I was just going to respond to Sean and offer that we'll send a schedule in an email. We'll post it on the wiki, and then we'll also have calendar invites, so that way the schedule will be clear for everyone. We'll make sure to do multiple different ways of getting the information out.
All right. Good. Thanks, Grace. So it sounds like we're done. Thank you, everyone. We'll try not to bother you unless there's work to be done, and we'll look forward to doing that work as and when we need to. Thanks again for attending and for a productive call.
Thank you, bye.